Always. That was me. I'd like to call to order the tonight's Planning Commission regular meeting. Please silence all cell phones and electronic devices. Commissioner Durr, would you lead us in a flag salute, please?
Ready to begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Be seated. Ms. Sanchez, would you call the roll?
Chair Heasley.
Present.
Vice Chair Durr.
Here.
Commissioner Manchin.
Here.
Commissioner Lopez.
Here.
Commissioner Ebley.
Here.
Commissioner Paxton.
Here.
Commissioner Earp.
Here.
Commissioners Barnhart and Daly are absent. We have quorum.
Thank you. Anyone in the audience wishing to speak must be sworn in and also fill out a request to speak form. The forms are located at on the table near the door. When your name is called, you'll be asked to come forward and speak into the microphone, say and spell your name, and give your address for the tape record. After all is spoken, the applicant will be allowed to respond. A public hearing then will be closed, and the Planning Commission will begin deliberations and make a decision. Would staff administer the oath to anybody that wishes to speak tonight?
Would you please stand? And raise your right hand. Do you solemnly affirm that the testimony you are about to give before this body will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? If so, please say I do.
I do.
Thank you. Please be seated.
Thank you. First on tonight's agenda is our consent agenda. Consent items are considered routine in nature and may be enacted in one motion. All public and non-public hearings will be opened at one time. Any item may be discussed separately upon a request of the member of the Planning Commission or a member of the public. Does staff recommend for the consent agenda?
Mr. Chair and commissioners, we have two items on tonight's consent calendar. The first are the minutes of the January 20th, 2016 minutes or 2016 meeting, and staff is recommending approval of those minutes. The second item is actually a receive and file item for administrative development permit 15-068. And staff is recommending that the Planning Commission receive and file the memo.
Thank you. Again, anybody that wishes to pull either item out of the consent agenda? Commissioners, none? I have a correction for the minutes. As soon as I find where I put it. I made a condition on item number 6 of the January meeting, and the statement attributed to me was to put do not block intersection on the pavement, the correct statement, and Oliver's got it written down already. The intersections of State, College, and Kendall with University Parkway shall have regulatory signs posted stating do not block the intersection with the code description, and fine, appropriate for that. I know it's a vehicle code violation already, but my intent was to try to educate the public that have issues with not blocking intersections as a safety concern. That's the correction. I'll entertain a motion for the consent agenda with the modification to the minutes.
I move approval with the modification of the minutes.
Second. I have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Unanimous? On the public hearing items, The Planning Commission will first hear a report from staff, then the public hearing will be open. The applicant will have an opportunity to speak. Next, members of the public will be allowed 3 minutes to speak. After everybody has spoken, the applicant will be allowed to respond. The public hearing will then be closed, and the Planning Commission will begin deliberations and make a decision. All actions except general plan amendments and amendments to the Municipal Development Code are final action unless an appeal is filed and a fee paid within 15 days to the Community Development Department. If you challenge the resultant action of the Planning Commission in court, you may be limited to raising only those issues you or someone else raised at the public hearing described in this agenda or in written correspondence delivered to the Community Development Department at or prior to the public hearing. Item number three, please.
All right. Item number three tonight is Administrative Development Permit 15069 and Public Convenience or Necessity Letter 1506. The application is a request to obtain approval of the Administrative Development Permit to provide an alcoholic beverage control type 20 license, that's off-sale beer and wine, for an existing approximately 18,000 square foot market. It's located at 625 East Hospitality within the commercial regional zone. A little background on the project. This was submitted back in December of last year, and just at the beginning of this month was noticed just to the surrounding property owners about the date and information on the hearing. A little bit of information about this one. The reason we're also looking at the public convenience or necessity letter is due, well, from our ordinance, we do require that that finding be made if the Department of ABC has determined that the census tract in which the property is located is over-concentrated in that type of license. This site specifically is in Census Tract 72. It is authorized for 4 licenses. There are currently 9 active off-sale licenses within the tract. This would be the 10th then, if it is approved. Little info on the location. As we said, it's located in the Tri-City area along Hospitality. There's an aerial of the project. It's within the larger commercial center. This is a photograph of the existing store. It's actually just about to open, I think in about a month from today. And an example of the floor plan for the store, you can see the entrance, you know, lower left of the image, and then directly above that, the darker shaded area, kind of halfway back on the left side, would be the location for the alcohol sales within the store. And our recommendation tonight is, well, I apologize, there's a typo on there, that the project as proposed does satisfy all the findings of fact required for approval of Administrative Development Permit 15069 and Public Convenience or Necessity Letter 1506. And the recommendation is that the Planning Commission adopt Resolution 2016-009, adopting the categorical exemption for the project and approving the development permit and the public convenience or necessity letter based off the findings of fact and subject to the conditions of approval. And we would like to propose one additional condition on the project. This would be noted as, I believe, condition number 24 within the conditions of approval. And it would be that within 6 months of issuance of the certificate of occupancy for the business and for a period of 2 years, that the Planning Division conduct an inspection on the business operations and property to ensure compliance with the conditions of approval to the satisfaction of the Community Development Director. And any questions?
Commissioner Paxton.
So question. So, and I'm looking at the memo from Lieutenant Lawhead.
Yes.
So ABC has off-sale liquor licenses for the census tract is 4, and there's already 9 there in that census tract?
That is correct. And I believe the last attachment on the report, I do have the documents from ABC that show where all the licenses are. This tract is a little unique in the number of licenses, because the census tracts are, that the boundaries are defined based off population densities, mm-hmm. and the majority of that area is commercial.
Right.
The tract is rather large because they had to include that much residential, so it encompasses, you know, a larger number of businesses. So it kind of drug that number up a little higher. But as I said, I have noted which attachment is it? It's attachment F on the document. You can see, you know, the businesses that are currently in possession of licenses within the tract.
Do you know what the criteria is that ABC uses to determine how many off-sale?
I do not. What we have and what we have access, I mean, we don't know their internal policy. I can't speak to, unfortunately. But again, in that same attachment, what we have access to is the report that they put together, you know, by track of types of licenses that are permitted and the number, and that's really what we're limited to work with.
I am under the understanding that they use population within the census tract to help determine. Mm-hmm. It would be, I think, a good thing to understand as to why they recommend it, because the report clearly says that with this additional, it's going to be, we're going to the other extreme of oversaturation. But there isn't anything in reference to, is that a good thing? Is that a bad thing?
Yeah.
Because I think we're going to be influenced in the fact of who the applicant is.
Mm-hmm. I will say, unfortunately, as I said, I couldn't really speak, and the report was not written to speak to their policymaking and how they come to their numbers. It's certainly something we can look into for future projects.
It is important to look into, because they are the state agency that regulate the sales. We don't, you know, but we do make a determination.
That is, you're correct.
Grant a permit or not, and I think it's important to know.
No, I will definitely make it a point. I have been working very closely with the ABC representative on this one, just confirming various things back and forth, and that is something that we didn't get to speak into in as much detail as we could have.
Mr. Martin.
Yes.
Concern I have is, and this has been with other stores offering alcoholic beverages, is we have 9 existing active. Mm-hmm. And ABC says 4 is the appropriate for that census block.
Mm-hmm.
And in the past, I've conditioned other applicants to buy and retire in a similar area or within the city limits a ABC license to reduce the total number that we have in our city.
Mm-hmm.
I did not see that anywhere as a condition.
That was not put in as a condition to present to the commission, but I mean, certainly we are aware of it, and it is something that if you feel is appropriate, you know, it is within your abilities to request that be added.
Preferably, I'd like them to do it in that same census block. But.
Mm-hmm. And we do have the applicant for the store here as well this evening.
Okay, when
you could speak to that if they'd like.
Any other questions for staff? Is the applicant here in relation to make a presentation?
He's there. I don't know if he has an actual presentation, but if you do have any questions about it or would like to discuss that condition, he's prepared
Welcome.
To speak
would
to
you
that.
State your name and address for the tape record, please.
Sure. My name is Matthew Baca, M-A-T-T-H-E-W, Baca, B as in boy, A-C-A. I'm the director of real estate with Aldi, located at 12661 Aldi Place, Moreno Valley, California. More than happy, again, I don't have a presentation. More than happy to talk a little bit about Aldi. As you may or may not be familiar with our store, our concept, as we're entering the Southern California market for the first time this spring with about 25 stores, and we'll be opening about 40 stores, 40 to 45 stores by the end of 2016. So we're excited that actually a couple of those stores will be in San Bernardino. We're excited to join the community, and we appreciate the time here. So thank you guys for listening to us. And again, I'm more than happy to answer any questions regarding the specific type of use that we have here. Just to briefly sum up our sales as they relate to beer and wine. It is limited, again, to beer and wine with the Type 20 license. We don't carry liquor in the United States. Our focus is on high-quality wine, high-quality beer at great prices, just like it is with the rest of our grocery items. So, again, as far as it relates to alcohol sales, it's not something where we will sell chilled beverages. We won't sell, again, liquor. We won't sell malt liquor, 40s, that type of thing. Those are all part of the conditions, which, again, are not part of our normal business model. What we're trying to do is supplement our customers' grocery shopping experience for those who may want to buy a six-pack of beer or a bottle of wine to have in the home. So we're not the type of retailer who I think generally brings some of the concern to the community. Very well-run operation. We'll make sure to comply, of course, with the conditions, but above and beyond that, making sure that we have a nice, clean operation that we're proud of, the community's proud of, and the customers are really excited to be shopping at finally here in Southern California.
Well, thank you. We welcome
your
company coming into our city, and my comments about retiring the licenses is not directed at corporations as much as some of the more mom-and-pop type stores that do not control activities related to purchasing of alcoholic beverages as well as a large corporation would, or somebody that's running the job professionally. So that's the condition I'm looking at is we've got several thousand active licenses within the city of San Bernardino. And what we're trying to do is reduce the number. And what the condition I would like to impose is that you get your license, but buy another one and retire it.
Sure. And speaking to the ABC process, when we are over concentration, we are not allowed to just get a new license. We will be purchasing an existing license. I don't know who we're purchasing it from, if it's one of those which the commission may want to be retired. I can certainly share that information with staff if I am able to kind of find that out. So
I'm not explaining myself well. Sure. I know that you're going to buy an existing license.
Okay.
What I want you to do is I want you to buy two licenses and retire one. That reduces the total number of licenses within our city.
It's the fact that people sell their licenses, because once a license is issued and then they sell it, like you're purchasing, we can't reduce the number. But as Chairman Easley says, that would be one that we would encourage you. I don't have anything against your operation because of its size. It's not the principal product that you're selling. My expectation is that you will be a good provider of services and all of those things. But I do want to, again, bring to the attention of staff. Mm-hmm. You need to provide a little bit more information. There is a reason as to why the state, which is required to regulate the sale of mm-hmm. alcohol, has some kind of formula to determine over-concentration and whatever. We need to know the reasons for that.
And that's certainly something
I think,
we will strive to include.
You know, I don't know how often I request this, and I'd like to see more of that. The other reason, too, is because we make decisions, like we saw the letter that was submitted for one to permit, to accept, and file, because they didn't need to do the letter mm-hmm. for convenience and stuff because they were within the formula that, in other words, the area that they wanted to go allowed for three, and there were already two, so there was no problem.
Mm-hmm.
On one hand, we do accept, but when the other indicates, and in this case, a large over-concentration,
mm-hmm.
I think we need to be informed and consistent as well.
No, and we will certainly take that under advisement and work to include that in future similar projects.
Okay, I'll hold it to you next time.
If I can just follow up real quick on what Travis mm-hmm. said. In the time that I've been here, what the commission has asked for, and we absolutely want to provide all the information regarding the number of licenses and the location of licenses. I think Commissioner Lopez and Chair Heasley are correct. We should really understand more about what ABC standards are. But from what I've heard from the commission previously, you've just wanted to know the numbers and the locations, not necessarily the details as how they calculate or what that formula is. So we'll absolutely get that. But I guess previously I hadn't heard that the commission was looking for that type of information.
Maybe I should research it. But my concern is, mm-hmm. why do they term it a concern of over-concentration? You know, not otherwise, then it just becomes a number, 5, 6, whatever.
Right. Well, at the end of the day, they do allow And this is, I think, the fine balance that ABC tries to strike. While they are the state permitting agency, they also like to allow local control, which is why they have adopted the procedure that allows the local jurisdiction to make the findings. But you are correct. We should understand their formula in a little bit more detail, and we don't.
Mm-hmm. No, I understand that.
So we'll certainly work on that. And as Travis has said, he has spent quite a bit of time on the phone with ABC trying to gather the information, as well as the police department regarding crime statistics. Before the next application comes forward, we'll do a better job of understanding what ABC is what formulas they're using.
I think Chairman Easley had a question that we didn't get an answer about purchasing two and retiring one. Did you still want an answer?
Are you willing to as representative of the company, working with that condition of buying two licenses, one for your company's use and one to retire, to reduce the total number of licenses within the city?
I'd like to kind of respectfully ask the commission to follow the staff's recommendation. Purchasing an additional license above and beyond the one required is kind of an excessive expense upon the business. It is in the amount of five figures, which, again, we'll consider it if that is the commission's direction. And, of course, we respect and appreciate the direction and the intent of what the decision is here, but it is definitely a something that I cannot commit to at this time, given the large expense there associated with purchasing an additional license.
Well, thank you for your candor. You're the first applicant to actually express that type of a dismay over a potential condition. Looking at my fellow commissioners and kind of get a read as to what your opinions are.
I apologize. I'm not familiar with your market chain. You're a grocery store, basically, right?
Correct. That's correct.
And you want to sell beer and wine along with lettuce and tomatoes and all the other stuff?
Absolutely.
All right.
I know it may be difficult. Is there, and I'm addressing this to staff or to the attorney, is there a way to word this where we can make it where it is a condition that they make a wholehearted attempt without putting a dollar limit on purchasing and retiring the additional license?
After consulting with staff, I think you'd have a real tough time with wording it the way you're suggesting. You know, I'm thinking putting something like a good faith effort to attempt to purchase another one, but I don't know exactly what that would entail in a situation like this. I don't know how you'd enforce it.
Thank you.
One more question.
Commissioner Paxson.
So you mentioned you're going to open up more than one store in San Bernardino?
That's correct.
So I assume as those stores open up, this ABC issue will, I mean, you want to sell beer and wine in your other stores, right?
Correct. The second concern.
We'll say, go ahead. And I'm sorry, but Commissioner, the other location that they are looking to open kind of approximately, you know, this spring along with the rest of their rollout is the one that's actually addressed in item two.
Okay.
In the memo, and
gotcha. Okay.
Due right. to the concentration issue, that one didn't require this same discussion.
Okay.
Would that condition be a breaking point for your company at this location?
It would be something we'd have to consider. I'm not authorized to make that decision solely here and right now. It is certainly something that would be unusual. The first time we've really encountered that specific condition, and I'm not authorized to make that type of decision as it relates to the monetary aspect of purchasing the additional license.
If we continue this to our next meeting, would that give you adequate time to confer with your company to ascertain as to whether it was feasible to meet that condition or not?
In order to meet our opening date, we'd prefer that a decision be made, and then we can proceed based on the commission's direction here, based upon that. But we're more than happy to kind of live with the decision that's made after conferring with the commission.
Okay. On that note, I'm going to stay with the condition that you buy one license for yourself and purchase another license within the city of San Bernardino and retire it.
Would there be any consideration, as there's been discussion about the additional license we're purchasing for the site at 4020 Island Ave, would that be seen as a compromise to purchasing both of those licenses, which, again, both of those are existing licenses, and then obviously we'll be using both, but we'll be taking two licenses out of perhaps businesses which would be a less desirable use than an Aldi grocery store selling, the small amount of beer and wine that we do.
Well, that's an interesting proposition. So you're saying that both item two and this one would be buying existing licenses within the city?
That's correct, Mr. Chairman.
For your company's use?
Correct.
My concern is at this point is if I allow your corporation to proceed with this, it sets a precedent for everybody else to come up with the same complaint, and we cannot therefore do what I desire to do as a citizen of San Bernardino, is reduce the plethora of licenses we have, and that's my concern. So I'm going to have to stay with the condition of buying two for this location, no consideration of what you did on the other location, and retiring one of them.
Okay.
Is it possible, Chair, if I could, going back to what the city attorney's office had suggested, a good faith effort be made, even though it's hard in this case to determine what that good faith effort is. We do believe that Aldi is, and I think for those commissioners who've read about them, they are a good operator, and they will bring a lot to the community. This is different than the independent operators, which really are a problem for staff, a problem for the police department, a problem for code enforcement, a problem for all of the neighbors. But we certainly do see Aldi as very different, and it sounds like you do too, Chair Heasley, as a different type of operator that will be held to a much higher standard.
Commissioner Lopez?
Did you say, or may I ask, are you opening, is Aldi going to open more stores in San Bernardino aside from this one?
We're actively looking. I'm the real estate director in the area, and we are actively looking in San Bernardino.
Do you know how many?
I cannot speak to that at this time.
More than two?
We're always evaluating opportunities, and it's definitely a community
and
we'd like to.
It's expected that those will be stores that are also going to be requesting an ABC license to sell.
Correct. We'd like to have beer and wine sales in all of our stores.
So you will be increasing. I don't see the problem for buying one and retiring one.
If we buy it and then retire it, will we be allowed to use that in the future, or will we, if we open, let's say, a third store, be required then to buy a third and fourth license for that particular store, if that's the precedent that's being set?
Myself, I would find that acceptable. that it, because I don't want to discourage too strongly company moving in, which would benefit the city and the citizens, but I do want to reduce the licenses of ABC license that we have too many of. So I could possibly, matter of fact, I will modify my condition that it's for your company and your company alone. You buy one extra, I don't care how many stores you open, but the more the merrier. You buy one extra license for your company, and we might be able to do it by a corporate type situation rather than each individual application for each store. Would that be acceptable to your company, that you buy one extra license and retire it, and the rest of the license that you buy for additional stores, you only have to buy the one that you're going to use?
Again, that's we're willing to kind of follow the Planning Commission's direction tonight, but it's something that I'm not authorized to make a decision of that magnitude.
Director, our city attorney, I seek some.
Yeah, I think probably the safest ground would be that they make a good faith effort to buy an additional license to retire. I think there may be issues with tying this to some future hypothetical application, which may never arrive, and we do need to treat future applications on the merits of that application. And from a staff perspective, I would be concerned about our ability to look at 2 years from now, 2 months from now, if they found a location on the west side of town, we'd have no ability to regulate or review that on the merit, and I would be concerned about that. So again, I think them making a good faith effort to retire a license is, given what we know tonight, probably the best ground to proceed on.
This is Deputy City Attorney Stephen Graham. Again, I realize I probably should put my name on the record until everyone gets used to my voice. I just wanted to echo what Mark had said. I would have concerns about looking at it from a corporate standpoint as opposed to an individual application standpoint, especially if you're considering, instead of tying it to one that you already had, which was number two, tying it to some future application we don't know anything about, or like Mark said, even if it would be made.
Okay.
While we're on the subject of good faith, how many employees does one store have?
A typical Aldi store in Southern California will have about 20 employees.
Do you, in good faith, try to hire locally if possible?
We do. We have local hiring events for each of our stores, and I believe we've hired and staffed, and those employees are training and getting ready to open up this spring, as Travis had mentioned.
Yeah, and not to put you on the spot, but estimated sales tax that you generate in a year?
Estimated, I'm sorry?
Sales tax.
I do not have that information.
Okay. But you're moving into San Bernardino on good faith, right?
We are.
All right.
Commissioner Durr.
Yeah, I know a little bit about Aldi's, and they're a class outfit. They do a real good job, and they've been, I think, you're back east and Midwest as well, right? And it's
yes.
Great. Just throw it out there. A tremendous reputation. So,
thank you.
Just thought I'd throw it out there, what I know.
I'm willing to accept a modification to my condition to a good faith effort, and we'll do it for each application. I have no speaker slips other than yours.
Excuse me real quick, Chair, just a clarification. The condition, I think, is applied to this item because the previous item, actually, there aren't conditions because they already meet the ABC requirements and the city requirements for the number of permits in the census tract.
This application only. The previous application is done and gone as far as what we're going to say. So
okay.
It has no bearing on this application
okay.
at this time.
Chair, I also just wanted to clarify for my own notes. When you were asking for a good faith effort to purchase and retire an additional license, Was that citywide or was that in this census tract specifically?
Citywide.
Okay.
If they could find one citywide.
That may help them find one.
Would we be included? I know previously when we've explored similar conditions, we preference has always been the track, and then if not, then within the city, if that's impossible, I think we have previously included the sphere of influence.
That would be the good faith effort is expanding out from the location. Immediate location, larger area, and in the sphere of influence.
We would tier it to those three in a similar fashion. All right.
Preferably someplace within San Bernardino would be the most desirable.
Sure.
Because you're close to an abutment with the city of Loma Linda and not too far from Colton. That'll satisfy me on this particular application.
Thank you.
Any further discussion? Questions for staff? Clarification required? I've confused the heck out of myself tonight. If not, I'll entertain a motion.
Let me take a shot at it. I would move that the Planning Commission adopt resolution number 2016-009, adopting the categorical exemption and approving administrative development permit 15-069 and public convenience or necessity letter 15-06, based on the findings of fact contained in this staff report and subject to the conditions of approval, including the condition that a good faith effort be made to retire an existing ABC license.
I have a motion. Do I have a second?
I just want to clarify, we do have the condition for the six-month, over the two-year period inspections as well. We just want to make sure we include that.
Okay. That's fine.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried unanimously. Thank you much, Mr. Baca, for putting up with us sorting things out.
Thank you.
Welcome. Next item.
All right. So our next item this evening is conditional use permit 1512. It's a request to allow the development, establishment, and operation approximately 2,800 square foot restaurant with drive-through and the required on and off-site improvements on a parcel containing approximately 0.7 acres. Sorry, it's not 70. Project site is located at the southeast corner of Tippecanoe Avenue and Gould Street. It's within the commercial general CG1 zone. This application was submitted back in June of last year. Obviously, we have worked diligently with the applicant since then, working on corrections and revisions to get it to the hearing this evening. In January, the DERC did review the application to move it for your consideration tonight. And then at the beginning of this month, we did notice for this hearing. The location on this project, as you can see highlighted in red, it's mostly an undeveloped property. It does contain one small residential unit in the corner. Like I said, southeast corner of Tippecanoe and Gould. As we noted, it is in the CG1 zone, directly abutting residential and the commercial regional. This is a portion of the existing site looking south from Gould Street. This is from across Tippecanoe, looking at the majority of the site. You can see the structure right in the center is the house on the property currently. The site plan for the project, you can see obviously Gould Street to the north, single building with the drive-through wrapping around fronting both Gould and Tippecanoe with parking and other associated improvements surrounding. Some typicals of what the building would look like, nice clean design, stone, ledge stone on the building, a little more modern looking. Additional elevations from the other sides, and an example of the landscaping they are proposing for the site. You can see nice improvements along the street, definitely from what it is currently, along with a nice landscaped buffer from the residential properties. And the our conclusion is that the proposed commercial development with the drive-through is consistent with the general plan and development code and satisfies all findings of fact required for required for approval of conditional use permit 1512, and our recommendation is that Planning Commission adopt resolution 2016-010 adopting the categorical exemption, and approving conditional use permit 1512 based off the findings of fact in the resolution and subject to conditions of approval.
Any questions or comments for staff? Does the applicant like to make a presentation, or anybody have questions for the applicant? Welcome. Please state your name and spell the last and your address for the tape record.
Good evening, commissioners. Thank you for hearing our application and reviewing it. My name is Joe Minio, M-I-N-E-O. Address is 3800 Orange Street, Suite 250 in Riverside, California. And I want to thank staff for working on the project and working with us over the last few months to get this project to the commissioner's review. And I want to let you know that we accept the conditions that have been suggested. And I'm here to answer any questions if you'd like to have any questions in regards to the project.
Commissioners? Any questions, comments? I'm glad to see somebody building on that area because it's been kind of an eyesore for years.
Well, we look forward. There's substantial improvements that have to be made with the development for the improvement of Gould Street and the intersection and improving Tippecanoe, too, and the landscaping that will have to go in. But we'd like to get the project approved and see if we can move it forward.
I have no public speaker slips, so thank you very much, sir. And I guess I'll entertain a motion, listeners. Well, this was easy.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'd like to make a motion that the Planning Commission adopt resolution number 2016-010, adopting the categorical exemption and approving conditional use permit 1512 based on the findings of fact contained in the staff report and subject to conditions of approval.
I have a motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
I have a motion and a second. Second be Commissioner Lopez or Machen? Commissioner Machen. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Unanimous. Item number five.
Item number five is conditional use permit 15-17, request to allow the development, establishment, and operation of a public charter school, options for youth within an existing commercial building containing approximately 6,832 square feet on a parcel containing approximately 0.68 acres. The project site is located at 1148 East Highland Avenue within the commercial general CG1 zone. The formal application was submitted on October 19th, 2015, and was reviewed by the Development Environmental Review Committee on January 14th to move the environmental determination and conditional use permit 15-17 to tonight's Planning Commission for consideration. Legal ads and notices were sent out within the required time frame. The proposed project would establish a public charter school and provide a minimum of 3 hours of weekly instruction to students who would, for the most part, complete the majority of their studies through independent study, at least 4 to 6 hours per day of independent study. And the operation would be located within an existing commercial building that has been vacant for some time. So the operator would then bring some business back to that area, which is located across the street from Fiscalini Field on Highland Avenue. This particular operator also has other operations, other facilities within Apple Valley, Moreno Valley, Northridge, Ontario, Pomona, Rancho Cucamonga, Van Nuys, and so on. So they have been a successful operator in other surrounding communities. And there is the location map. You can see that they are located within the commercial general CG1 zone, and they would support residential neighborhoods to the north. And again, there you can see across the street from Fiscalini Field. Their site plan, they're not planning to make any exterior modifications, just upgrade some of the ADA requirements and some interior tenant improvement work to create classrooms for students. This is, again, the existing elevations won't change. This is the north elevation, south elevation, southwest, east, northeast, the rear of the property, north elevation, and west elevation. The proposed charter school is consistent with the City of San Bernardino General Plan and Development Code. The application satisfies all findings of fact required for approval of conditional use permit number 15-17. The Planning Commission, our recommendation is that the Planning Commission adopt resolution 2016-011 adopting the categorical exemption, which I should add at this point, I apologize that it's not in the PowerPoint. The categorical exemption is for 15332 infill development projects. And approve conditional use permit number 15-17 based on the findings of fact contained within resolution 2016-011 and subject to the conditions of approval.
I have one question. I couldn't find on the plans, not in the part that I was able to look online here. Are they fencing the perimeter to prevent children from wandering off, or from some of the less fortunate people that hang around in the area from entering the campus?
No, they are not proposing that, and I just want to clarify that this is a public charter school, but it's not a full day of school. There's actually only four classrooms. Two will be available for elementary to junior high school children, and then the other two will be for high school age children. And as I said in part of the my presentation was that the children will only actually be required to be on campus or in the classroom for a maximum of 3 hours per week. The majority of what they do will be independent study from home. So I don't know that there's necessarily the need for the fencing. We aren't requiring to have a playground because the children simply aren't there long enough. There's no meals provided throughout the day, again, because the children simply are not there long enough. But if that's something that the commission wants to consider, I can speak to the applicants about that.
Well, my concern is obviously the safety of any children.
Sure.
Whatever ages that are attending.
Absolutely.
There, because I've been in that area enough to and know what the transient population looks like around there, and I would have concern over unnecessary exposure to harm for children. Okay. Commissioner Lopez.
The application notes that the charter school is moving from one location to another location on Highland Avenue because they want to expand. How many young people are we talking about attending? It does sound like they'd be kind of staggered because they're coming in at different times, but are they wanting to expand just the facilities, or are they expanding the number of students that they can see?
I believe just the number of students, and I don't think it's a very large expansion. Perhaps the applicant can speak to that.
If you're the applicant, would you please come forward and state your name and address for the public record?
My name is Mikey Stewart with Options for Youth, and my address is 320 North Halsted Street in Pasadena.
Welcome.
In answer to your question, there's approximately 30 to 50 students at any given time. The reason for the relocation is due to the space, not the increase of students. Currently, the space that we're in with the 30 to 50 students at any given time is just crowded.
So the space needed to accommodate the current yes. enrollment that you have.
And you understand my concern regarding the transient population that is around that area through the park and et cetera.
Yeah, I absolutely understand your concern. My only issue or concern with that is that because the students are coming and going, that the gate, per se, would be opening and closing all the time and nearly impossible for us to keep it locked to avoid unnecessary exposure. We are open to consideration. We are excited to relocate to that spot. So I just don't feel as though that would necessarily prevent the exposure that you're referring to.
Is this location, this new location, is it located in the retail strip mall or is it a standalone?
It's a standalone facility. I believe that previously there was a church that operated from the facility.
So there would be easy access and parking for parents, drop-off, pick-up, because I've seen some charter schools at a retail outlet, and it is terrible
sure.
in terms of traffic because they're sharing with all the other retailers.
No. It's not shared parking. Yeah. It's all for just this one building.
Commissioner Pax.
A couple questions. Who issued your charter?
That's a very good question.
It was.
Yeah. I don't have a good answer for you.
Okay.
Oops, we need an answer. That's a good question.
Right.
Well, sorry, can you repeat the question?
Well, the question, because charter schools, local school district, county superintendent, or the state issues a charter, I'm just curious. Is your student population, is it probation kids? You have probation kids?
I'm not aware of probation kids, okay. but it would not surprise me. There are some at-risk kids
okay.
that attend the school.
Okay. All right.
Commissioner Durr?
And to Commissioner Heasley's concern is what kind of, do you have any kind of security measures at all as far as just people coming through the front door? Or?
We have a security guard on staff at all times.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. You don't foresee the possibility of the potential for having a video surveillance of the exterior of the building?
We already have that in place.
Okay. I have nothing further. Again, I have no other speaker slips. Commissioner Herb?
Yeah, I have a question. Thank you for coming. Do I understand correctly that when you talk about what was the number, 40 or 50? Students?
30 to 50.
Is that at one time?
Yes.
Okay. I just wonder if there's adequate parking for that many people coming and going. I mean, that's over a two-hour. I mean, they're like two-hour sessions. Is that right?
Most of our students are either bused in or dropped off. The majority do not drive.
Okay.
But there is adequate parking in and around the entire space, with, I think, exception to the east side.
based on our parking analysis and what is required for the elementary school and junior high classrooms versus the high school classrooms, they exceed the parking requirement by more than double.
Okay. Yeah, I just wondered if it was a little bit different situation because they're just there for a short time.
Sure.
But, okay. Thank you.
Anything else? Well, thank you for answering our questions.
Thank you.
At this point in time, I'll entertain a motion.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, I'll move the Planning Commission adopt resolution number 2016-011, adopting the categorical exemption for conditional use permit 15-17 and approving conditional use permit 15-17 based on the findings of fact and subject to the recommended conditions of approval.
I have a motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
I have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Unanimous. Item number six.
Sorry, give me just a moment to get this set up. Can I? My apologies. Item number six is conditional use permit 15-19, a request to allow the development, establishment, and operation of new performing arts center containing approximately 16,597 square feet, administrative offices containing approximately 3,459 square feet, a gymnasium addition containing approximately 4,488 square feet, and two pool buildings containing a total of approximately 2,174 square feet for Aquinas Catholic High School, along with the required on-site and off-site improvements on a parcel containing approximately 29.3 acres. The project site is located at 2772 North Sterling Avenue within the public facilities zone. The application was formally submitted on November 12, 2015, and reviewed by the Development Environmental Review Committee on January 14th to move the environmental determination and conditional use permit 15-19 to tonight's Planning Commission hearing. Again, legal advertisements and notices were sent out within the required time frame. The proposed project would allow the expanded recreation and administrative services service facilities to an existing school. This project would allow the school to construct and maintain approximately 26,718 square feet of improvements and additions to the existing facilities, which consist of approximately 60,000 square feet of existing buildings on the 29.3 acres. The project would occur in three phases. Phase one would consist of the construction of the performing arts building and the addition of the gymnasium lobby, which would act as a hall of fame for the gymnasium. Phase two would consist of the construction of the administrative building, and phase three would consist of the construction of the aquatic center with the new pool and bleachers and support building. Again, the project site is located within the public facilities zone, which permits the establishment and expansion of education facilities subject to the approval of a conditional use permit. just to expand a little bit on what the applicant is doing here, the Performing Arts Building proposes 304-seat proscenium-style theater with stage and stage house above to accommodate approximately 26 manual line sets for the scenery and lighting. Backstage and dressing rooms, toilets, construction shop, and storage area for set building and production facilities. And adjunct to the theater is a band room with direct access to the theater proper. The Hall of Fame would present a new face along Sterling Avenue. And again, I'll go through and show you the concept elevations for the modernization of the school. And all of the buildings proposed will have the same architectural type and features. The Hall of Fame, again, will display trophy cabinets, game memorabilia, honored athletes, and from the school. The new administrative building, again, will be architecturally compatible with the Performing Arts Center and the Hall of Fame gymnasium. And present a new modernized look. Okay, so you can see that the existing facilities are at the northwest corner of Sterling Avenue and Date Street in the public facility zone. And this is the proposed site plan. So the new Performing Arts Building will be up along the front of Sterling Avenue. And the Hall of Fame area will be built onto the front of the existing gymnasium. And then we have our administrative building and our aquatic center. And you can see the proposed floor plan for the Performing Arts Building. And our elevations. And then again for the administrative building. And the Hall of Fame addition. In addition to the existing buildings and new buildings being proposed, the applicant is also proposing to add some additional drought-tolerant landscaping along Sterling Avenue and removing some existing sod there. So, and there's our concept elevation. So you can see it's much more modernized than the existing buildings, which you can see in some of the photos included. The proposed charter school is consistent with the City of San Bernardino General Plan and Development Code, and the application satisfies all findings of fact required for approval of conditional use permit number 15-19. Staff's recommendation is that the Planning Commission adopt Resolution 2016-012 adopting the categorical exemption. Oh, pardon me, before I get to staff recommendations, we do actually have a few speakers and a letter from the applicant objecting to some of the proposed conditions from staff, and that is Attachment B. In the staff report, I don't know if the commission has had a chance to look through all of those, but staff is reporting and supporting any of your recommendations. For our part, the lot merger is not necessarily required as long as buildings aren't encroaching over parcel lines. But the other requirements for streetlights and undergrounding some of the utilities would need to be decided by the Planning Commission tonight.
So. One more time on 3A, all existing overhead utilities adjacent to a traversing. And your statement was Bonham and Associates representing that they don't want to have to do this, or are we in agreement with that, or is Is the city in agreement with that?
That is up to the commission, as I understand. But when I spoke with staff about it, specifically land development, who's recommending these conditions, they didn't have any particular sway one way or the other. Just this is their normal standardized conditions. Would you like the applicant to address this issue? I do have some speaker slips. So
I guess that would be Edward Bonneman. Welcome. Standard thing, spell your last name. Say and spell your last name and your address.
Mr. Chairman and members of the commission, if I can, there's age before beauty, that's okay.
Okay.
I've come to accept that. I'm Bill Lemon, an alumni of Aquinas and attorney for the education and welfare applicant who is the owner of Aquinas High School. I would ask you to listen very carefully today to Mr. Bonneman, who's done a great deal of work. He's also a graduate of the school. And he is doing the civil engineering work for this facility. We have also with us J.P. Darling, who is the architect, and you saw renderings of, as we call it, an iconic building, a great statement for Del Rosa and a great statement for the city of San Bernardino. This has been a project that has been underway for years, and it has been a great challenge to us and our economy and in our community to be able to raise the kind of funds that would be necessary in order to build a facility like this for our community and for our students. So we are ready to go, and timing is very important. And so we're going to ask Mr. Bonneman to explain to you what we're requesting here. As you heard from staff, there is no demand being made for the recommended items. They are fairly standard in an attempt to get the streets paved and landscaping and underground utilities when improvements are made. In this instance, we have raised enough money to actually do the building. We do not have the kinds of money that are involved to do underground utilities and paving and some of these things that are being requested. As a matter of information, just so you know, for instance, on Date Street, half the street was paved by the city a few years ago. The other half on the Aquinas side has not been paved. And, of course, one of the things they're requesting is that we now pave the street when one half was paved by the city as part of the process. It needs to be paved. We agree with that. We just don't have the wherewithal to be paving the streets for the city. So if this building, it's important that we accomplish it under a certain timeline because we have students that leave the school with the summer months that are available to us and the fall months. And so we are ready to commence construction. So we do want the commission to assist us with this tonight. So the timing is important. We ask you to listen very carefully to Mr. Bonneman and Mr. Darling and recognize the hard work that they put into this these past many months to create this a great opportunity for the community. We've not had a new performing arts center in San Bernardino perhaps ever. Perhaps Cal State has a performing arts center. We have some other places like Sturgis and Valley College that have been renovated for purposes of the school district and for purposes of the community college district, but a high school has not had something quite like this. And certainly Aquinas is one of the bright spots in a very struggling city. We've been named, fortunately, the best private high school in San Bernardino County and have received many other accolades for the students that are graduating, and nearly 100% of them go on to college. So it's a tremendous opportunity for us. This opens the door with the Aquatic Center and Performing Arts to allow students who perhaps don't do other extracurricular activities beyond sports and intellectual items to get involved in broadening their educational experience and their opportunities to perform and grow. So I only make these comments so that you listen very carefully to Mr. Bondeman and Mr. Darling. Ask whatever questions you wish, and then hopefully we'll be able to bring this to a vote tonight that will allow us to start moving earth in the next few weeks.
Thank you. Welcome that you're doing something for the arts within our city. One quick question. Is this facility exclusively to the use of students of Aquinas?
It is being built as a classroom, and it is being built for the purpose of educating students and allowing the students to put on their productions. But we do, fortunately, have an agreement with the San Manuel Band of Mission Indians, which allows us to present annual symposia on Native American arts, Native American acting, Native American language. And so it will be an educational facility, but the professors at Aquinas are going to join with the representatives of the tribe to create educational opportunities for tribal members. We're less than a half a mile as a crow flies from the reservation. And so this will become, in addition to an educational opportunity for the students at Aquinas, an educational opportunity for tribal members and teaching about their history and their culture and their arts.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you. Ed Bond.
I've never had that kind of introduction before. Ed Bondeman is with Joseph E. Bondeman Associates, 234 North Arrowhead, San Bernardino, 92408. I want to thank staff. Staff's been great on this. It's been a pretty neat project to work on. Like Bill said, I'm an alumni, so it's really fun to see the growth of the school. Based on the conditions, I know that a lot of these are boilerplate conditions. If you've had a chance to read my letter, some of them don't make a whole lot of sense right now. I think, as Chantel said, item 2.F, they're okay with not doing a lot merger. That really had a lot to do with our Edison meter. Based on the city code 3.A, there's an exemption for streetlights. The poles have streetlights on them, so I'm asking for that one to be removed. On 4B, talks about doing the rehabbing the streets. It's a typical boilerplate from Public Works to from the center line along your whole frontage. Sterling Avenue's got 1,300 feet of frontage, and it's really big, so it would be a very difficult and very expensive improvement, especially since Sterling's already in pretty good shape. I think, like Bill said, if you know, Date Street isn't all that good on the north side, but you know, this school has done a whole lot in the last 60 years to do their fair share of their frontage improvement. So hopefully the city can give them a little pass on some of these things. Again, install street lights. There already are street lights on the poles, so we're hoping they don't have to change the street lights with that big expense. That was 4.F. 9.A would be a line of sight study. We've already identified in DRC the line of sight out of the north parking area is poor, and that's why we've already identified a right turn only, and that's how you would deal with that anyway, so it's already there. Other than that, the other conditions were fine with. There was a condition having to do with upgrading the driveways, new ADA path of travel. We'll do the best we can. They're really tough on some of them because of the school was built 60 years ago, and the distance from the street intersections and things, it makes it a little tough. But there's different types of ADA driveways that the city will work with us on so that we can get a good ADA path of travel around the school. So with that, do you have any questions?
I do, but I'll defer to my fellow commissioners to start.
Well, not for the applicant, but for staff. The conditions that the applicant just cited as a concern, if those conditions were not met, does that represent a health and safety issue to the city?
I don't believe so. Potentially the ADA issues, but again, as Ed stated, we can work with each other to reach some compromise on that issue at least.
Okay.
Commissioner. A couple of questions, Mr. Bonneman. Are you cutting into either Date or Sterling for this construction project? Are you cutting into the street itself?
For the water service, it's very possible that we will cut into Sterling for our fire sprinklers and the water service. Yes. That would be the only one. And we would repair it based on the water, you know, the city's standard trench repair.
And I notice here that apparently the curb, gutter, et cetera, is not full height, which is interesting.
I think we're full height on both Sterling and Date. Was there a condition?
That's 4D is what I'm looking at the statement there. And you're talking about the driveways at the same time, so I trust that you will make the best effort that you can on that, because you wouldn't do.
Oh, sure.
Halfway work.
Yeah, absolutely. No, 4D we're okay with. We just wanted to make sure, because 4D was specifically city standard number 204 type 2. Which you might not be able to do on all of them. So that's why I asked to work with city staff. Because there's other types of driveway that the ADA allows us to use that have a shorter run and then allows me to do a four-foot bypass that work good. Because, again, it's an old school, and some of the driveways would be difficult to do that specific standard. That's all I'm asking. That one takes up a lot of room. That one is a...
The only real concern I have about the pavement on the street is when you do a utility access cut, and it seems like the failure rate post completion of the job is higher than on utility cuts than it would be on anything else. So I guess I'm going to have to trust that during the construction you guys will do the proper job of repairing the street in the location where you make any cuts.
Well, a few years ago, the water department had a failure in Sterling, and it was a sinkhole. Do you remember that, water? And they ended up replacing a large portion of pipe and then doing a very good repair on Sterling. So that was helpful.
Commissioner,
seems like. On another recent project in one on Foothill, that we had requested an overlay. You know, it was a high traffic area. That I wonder if that's appropriate here for the street cut. You know, extend 20 feet or something like that.
Yes,
it's in there right now. They want to exempt it.
That's what we did. They're requesting that we remove that requirement. Of an overlay, which is what we refer to as mill and fill, mm-hmm. is.
I mean, I think in that case it was not a full, you know, the full frontage. It was just I forget whether it was 20 feet total or 20 feet each side of the street cut, something like that.
Yeah, that's something that California Department of Transportation has required now on utility cuts in pavement that you. Pave the half of the street that you make the utility cut in 100 feet in either direction from the limits of the cut, longitudinal on the street. Mm-hmm. Even if it's a lateral cut at the edge of the street to mill and fill that, because you'll use the city standards of a T-cut for the utility trench.
Well, whatever utility cut will follow the district standards for repair.
Okay. Does that answer your question and concern?
Yeah, does. I just had one other thing.
Which one were you referring to just now? Which item?
Well,
discussion about the utility poles? Or
4B.
4B.
And in 4D that we're concerned with this. And I asked Mr. Bonneman, they're going to have to do a utility cut to tie into water.
I see. Oh, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I think the letter that you submitted with most of the requests to have these either reconsidered or amended or removed are quite reasonable, with the exception of some of this other thing that you're mentioning. I think item 9A, to provide a line of sight study, because I've attended many sporting events at Aquinas, and you exit, you can't really go anyway but right.
Yeah.
So, and they are admitting that for safety reasons, because right. Sterling is a main street, it's got two going this way, and you can't literally go left.
Right.
And there is already a sign posted, so that's one that I see I think we could change. But I think I heard you say, and I think the question was asked, that you would be, I think we want this project. It is a project that will beautify the area, the school, bring it expansion and all this other stuff. So did I hear correctly that we will be working, or your staff will be working with them to see what they can do to resolve some of these issues?
Absolutely. And as stated previously, the project is going to occur in phases. So, you know, we may have additional leeway to compromise on some of these issues throughout the process.
Okay.
Commissioner Machen?
Yes, it's not clear to me about item 3A, the undergrounding of utilities. Was that resolved?
So what we're asking for from the Planning Commission today is that our project, Conditional Use Permit 15-19, be approved and the conditions be modified per the request of the letter dated February 4, 2016. In this letter, we've identified that because of an exemption in the city ordinance, we don't need to put, because we have streetlights on the poles, then we're exempt from undergrounding utilities.
So would that be acceptable to the staff?
This is a land development division condition, and in my conversations with them, they were okay with that.
Commissioner Earp?
Yeah, I think I just wanted to say, I guess this looks like a really good-looking structure here, the Arts Center in particular. And I'm looking at the rendering, and I'm trying to visualize, it just seems like it wouldn't be the same with a bunch of exposed power lines running across the front of the picture here. Seems, I understand your financial constraints. It seems like a bit of a missed opportunity if we have something this good looking and we still have that old infrastructure.
I agree. On that side of the street in front of it, they're only telephone poles. But the issue is there are a lot of connections from the transmission lines across the street, so there's really not an opportunity to underground them either. I mean, it would be nice, but it's very expensive.
I got one other question. Real quick, it looks like you want to get started right away.
Yes, sir.
The completion date, is that February 17, 2018? Is that your estimated completion date? It was 2018?
April or May. 2017.
Next
year.
Okay, thank you.
On a lighter note, I don't know how anybody wants to place poles underground. The electrical I can see, but placing the poles underground would be difficult, to say the least.
They take up a lot of room.
Any other questions for Mr. Bonneman? The only thing that I would like to see retained is if you do utility cuts, that you repair it properly.
Absolutely. So if I could just, my suggestion again is if it could be approved pursuant to our modifications to the conditions based on our letter dated February 4th. Thank you very much.
Thank you. JT Darling?
Okay.
Welcome, sir. You've already heard that it's a beautiful building.
It will be.
Can we...
J.P. Darling, D-A-R-L-I-N-G, 20331, Irvine Avenue.
All right. Good.
Suite E6, Newport Beach, 92660. I was going to give you a long-winded speech about the philosophy of the building and use words that even I don't know what they mean, but staff has done such a wonderful job on writing the report that they describe it adequately. And all I'm here for is to answer any questions that the commission may have.
Anybody have any questions for Mr. Darling? Will we let you off easy? Thank you, sir.
Yeah, thank you.
I have David, I believe it's Meyer. And thank you. And a Jim Brennan.
Okay, so you'll reference the resolution.
Welcome, sir. Please spell your last for the tape record.
Last name is B-R-E-N-N-A-N. They saved the best to last. My name is Dr. Jim Brennan. I'm president of Aquinas High School. We thank you for considering our proposal. Aquinas has long been a proud member of this city, participating in many things such as the bicentennial, the mayor's council, and other things that I don't even remember. This is an important, especially this year, because this is our 60th anniversary. And current folks and previous folks are all coming together to make it happen. And I guess the thing that I can relate to you is the excitement on campus with the kids who haven't had the opportunity to be in a real theater, that they want the opportunity to do that with some of the great teachers we have. So thank you for cooperation and assistance tonight.
Thank you. Any other questions or comments for staff? Everybody satisfied? I'll entertain a motion.
Before we entertain the motion, I just want to clarify that we are removing conditions 2F, 3A, modifying...
Chantal,
sorry.
I'm sorry, I think we should... the conditions in the resolution themselves are actually 18F.
They are numbered differently.
Right.
I was going to reference both.
Okay,
just
great.
So we're kind of all on the same page. I do want to make a modification to 4B state that this condition should only be applied for utility cuts. Was that my understanding?
Correct.
Okay. And then 4B, we are still going to require some ADA upgrades, but not necessarily to the city standard number 204, so we can strike that portion of it. And then 4F and 9A both will be removed. So to reference those in the resolution.
And let me kind of explain while Chantal is doing that. I think what Ed Bondeman's letter was looking at is during DERC, the comments that came in from land development were numbered one way. If you look in the actual resolution, which the commission will be adopting, I think we need to be clear, and that's what Chantal's going to walk through right now. The DERC comments have been incorporated starting actually at condition 17.
Mark, that'll be condition 18.
But they start at 17.
Yeah, yes,
all the land
correct,
development
yes.
ones. So that's the reason for what Ed was referring to. I saw some of you flipping through the resolution. They've been incorporated and renumbered. So Chantal, just for the record, will now go through and talk about which ones are being stricken in the resolution, because that's what the commission will ultimately be adopting.
So in resolution 2016-012, the conditions of approval that we'll be striking from the record will be 18F, 19A, and modifying 19B. Modifying, 20B, I believe.
20B is actually stricken.
That one's stricken. Okay. Okay. Yes. That one's stricken. Sorry, and modifying 4D, 20D. And striking 20F. And 25A.
Okay. Commissioner Bex.
So for clarification, those modifications, as just outlined by staff, the applicant's in agreement with those. Is that correct? Okay. Thank you.
I see head shaking, so apparently. All right, Commissioner Edby, we're proposing to make a motion.
Motion that the Planning Commission adopt resolution number, I have 2016-001-011. Is it 012?
It's 012.
2016-012, adopting category exemption conditional use permit 15-19 and approving conditional use permit 15-19 based on the findings of fact and subject to the recommended conditions of approval. Shall I say and?
As modified.
As modified.
As modified.
I'll second.
I have a motion and a second for approval. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Congratulations. Thank you. Non-public hearing. I have public comments for items not on the agenda and the purview of the Planning Commission. Planning Commission reports or announcements. Direct. Oh, Commissioner.
Yeah, I just have a question. I don't know when, if this needs to be brought up here or not, but I just noticed kind of after we had been there that the resolution for item four, the street improvements section mentions Gould Avenue and Highland Avenue. I think it should be Tippecanoe and Gould. I don't know.
A correction. No, run that by me one more time.
On the restaurant, the one on, yeah, it says Highland Avenue and Gould Street as the two street improvements.
It was a typo in the.
Okay.
It is intended.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't know since it was official resolution if we needed it.
I get to type it real fast. I have to review the whole thing.
Okay.
I have to sign them.
We are aware of it, and it's going to be corrected on the final resolution.
Commissioner Durr, or Commissioner Paxton first.
He has more hair than I do. I mean, shouldn't be that hard. Okay. Just an announcement. Board of Supervisors last Tuesday approved an MOU with a number of partners to submit a promise zone application to the feds. The County of San Bernardino and the City of San Bernardino are the leads for this. National Core, which is the developer for Waterman Gardens, is a major partner of the school district, Loma Linda, with the new clinic, and a number of other excellent partners. But it's got huge potential for the city. The target area, if I recall it correctly, is Highland to the north, to Third on the south, Tippecanoe on the east, and the 215 freeway to the west. But if we get that designation, and this will be, I think, our fourth try for this designation as part of the Obama administration's agenda, it covers everything from public safety to redevelopment to housing to employment to improve school outcomes to improve health outcomes. Went through that application today. And just a heads up, I think we have an excellent chance, we the city, we the county, of getting that designation. What that will mean is potentially a number of federal grants, our ability to talk to Department of Justice, Department of Education, HUD, any number of federal agencies looking at a total revamping, redevelopment of that target area from Third all the way up to Highland Avenue. So it's exciting stuff, and bad news with 12-2. The good news is we're on the Fed's radar, and I think that may help us get the designation. So, fingers crossed, toes crossed on that. It would be excellent for the city if we do, in fact, get that designation. So.
And just to follow up on that, Commissioner Paxton, the council, city council last night took a similar action and adopted a resolution for the city being a signatory on that promise zone application.
Good job.
Commissioner Durr?
I just had a question maybe for Commissioner Paxton, but what does it take to be a charter school? When you asked a question, there was a...
Well, charter schools, they're basically private schools, but they get public funding. So like SOAR Charter Academy down here on Mill, any number of charter schools, they request a charter from a local educational agency. That could mean the school district. For example, San Francisco City Schools granted SOAR Charter Academy their charter. And then they have some administrative responsibility to make sure that these students who go to a charter school, they get public funds, ADA, just like any other school. But then the authority that issues to charter has some responsibilities back to the state. County superintendent can issue a charter, or a charter school can go directly to the State Department of Ed and request one. When I asked the question about who issued the charter, it's sort of concerning they don't know. But basically, they receive public funds, and it's an alternative. So if I'm a parent and I choose to send my child to a charter school as opposed to a public school, then those ADA dollars follow the student.
And that's kind of how I understood it, and I can't understand why they don't know who.
Yeah, that was a little disturbing, yeah.
All right, thank you.
I have a question for the commissioners in general. How many of you have gone through Brown Act training? To answer your question, yes, we do need that training supplied. a short course, possibly at one of our future meetings, if we have a light schedule.
Certainly, I'll
that could be arranged. Director?
It can be, and I was talking to Stephen at the beginning of the meeting. The city clerk, Gigi Hanna, has on her work program for this year to do a comprehensive commission training. So I believe she's been working with Mr. Zine's office and Stephen, and she's been working with most of the directors. So I think it may be something more comprehensive where all of the commissions come together on a non-commission night to try to do a two-hour training. There is a requirement in state law relative to training. So we will be bringing you something, but it might not be in this setting. It might be on an off-commission night where all the commissions come together. That was part of the reason for the December event that I know many of you attended at Mitla's to try to introduce that idea.
Good. Director's report.
Yes, thank you. I will be brief. The first is an update on the development code project. As you are aware, that is something that staff has been working on, and Travis is the project manager, and he's been meeting twice a month with the consultant. We've made some good progress. As I said at the last meeting, the project is larger and taking more time than we had thought, but we still believe that we'll have draft language for the commission to start reviewing in the summertime. And we will be, as that becomes available, we will be bringing it to the commission as well as posting that online for public comment. The second item is a major projects update list. This was emailed to the commission back on the 1st of February, but I also like to provide hard copies. We are trying to push out as much information from the department as possible, so we encourage you as you meet with your friends and neighbors through the Neighborhood Association that you let them know that this information is available on the department website, and it is updated, like I say, on a monthly basis. So I'd be happy to answer any questions that you have on that. And then the third item is just to let you know that the third Thursday food event scheduled for tomorrow is canceled due to rain. I know it was hard to predict at 8 o'clock this morning when it was probably already 78 degrees that there would be rain, but we are anticipating rain, so the event is canceled. So we hope that those of you who can join us will come back in March.
Speaking of PromiseZone and major projects, what's the latest on Carousel Mall?
The Carousel Mall, we are continuing. There's a staff working group that consists of Bill Manis, the deputy city manager, myself, and other staff members as needed. We've got several representatives from the city attorney's office. We are meeting twice a month. The first phase of the project will be the Theater Square project, build out of the retail, the grassy knolls, which will accommodate about 16,000 square feet of retail space, as well as within the Shell building itself, there's about another 9,000 square feet of retail space. When Regal took over, they reduced the number of theaters, or the number of screens, I should say, from 24 to 16. So behind that brick facade, the block facade, you can, there's vacant tenants or vacant theater spaces that could easily be converted to office, to, excuse me, restaurant and retail. We do imagine, or we do anticipate going back to the city council with a first phase of the master development agreement, and we're anticipating that that will happen sometime in early spring. What the council approved back in November, as kind of a brief history, is entrance into a exclusive negotiating agreement with the joint development team of AECOM and KB Home. And staff has been meeting with them, like I say, twice a month since November. So we're making very good progress on Theater Square. The mall itself, we're still exploring different options, but it still is on track to be a mixed use, but we're defining what that means, how many residential use units versus square footage of retail space. But I will say we are making very good progress on that.
Good deal. I will entertain a motion to adjourn to Wednesday, March 16th, at 6 p.m. here.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Anybody crazy enough to say no?